honey. Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell.
Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
All right, good way to start the program this morning. Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And one of the great songs he ever wrote or performed. And I was thinking, I believe in a dream, he heard those horns. Is that right? So he went in and said, okay, I got Ring of Fire figured out. Here's what we're adding. Of course, his band was like, wow, that sounds a little weird to me. And the rest is history. We got a great song and a great memory. And this is You Get the Blessing. As I said earlier, I'm Bo Mitchell, the host today. My co-host, Bob Belts, is not with me. He's still feeling a little ill, but he'll be back next week. And we usually have guests on our show and ask our guests to share their life stories, which inspire our listeners, we hope. And today, I'm going to move from that and talk about communication, which I think is a ring of fire. And it's a ring of fire that can burn us up, or it's a ring of fire we can fall into and think, okay, this just is the way it is. I need to understand communication and get on top of it. And we've been talking about this a little bit for the last few months where I work, and I thought maybe this would be helpful if we spend some time on it today. Now, this is a show that tries to direct you towards Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, but we talk about how communication with God takes place when we pray, when we read Scripture, when we talk to other Christians. So that's the ultimate form of communication. But today I'm even going to get a little more practical and down to where you live on what I call a few tips so women and men can win. So communication is really such a big part of our behavior, how we represent ourselves to others. So let me start by just saying there are some things that we need to think about first on how we communicate to ourselves as to prepare us to communicate to others. So I have some rules that I thought maybe you would like to hear. My first one is, when we are hit by something negative, play it down and pray it up. So rather than fan the flame of the negativity, a great form of communication to yourself is to say, okay, that's a big red light for me, and I'm going to play that down and pray it up. So don't grow the negativity by feeding it yourself. The second is, when somebody escalates, in other words, they get ramped up and they're going to go full speed right in your face regarding something, don't escalate with them. Just because they go, don't go with them. I've escalated twice at the last month at my friend Bill Bostrom over some legal matters. He's my attorney and friend, and we've been discussing something, and I've gone with a raised voice and an anger in my tone just because there was a misunderstanding. Most misunderstandings develop because of differing assumptions we may have, which was the case here, but it's still no reason to ever escalate. So stay true to who you are. Just because somebody does something to you, don't become somebody other than who you are. Then this is a big one in our country now, the blame game. So the message here on communication to yourself is take responsibility for your end of the deal. Don't always point the finger some other direction. So the general topic here is communication. We're just talking about some messages we can send ourselves to help us in terms of communication. And we hope that the blessing of this program this morning is that you'll understand, especially in terms of you and your relationship with God, there are things we need to do to stay in communication with Him. So blame game is a big one. For men especially, I don't know if it's our competitiveness or what, But sometimes we are reluctant to say, I am sorry. I was wrong. This is my fault. Man, if you're listening and that's the case for you, try it once. You'll be surprised how many hearts open up to you, maybe even melt in your direction because you're now willing to say, I'm not perfect. I didn't sign up for perfection. Ask a question. Did I hurt you? Did I cause that? And get over the blame game. Another one on a message to yourself would be short lists. Keeping short accounts of things that have been said to you that hurt you is healthy. I mean, it keeps a clear slate. Just letting it go. Like I said on playing it down, praying it up. Another one would be don't just recite in your mind a list of this, that, and the other that's never going to go away. Our family jokes about we all have great memories when it comes to something that's been messed up. So we say we're part of the family that won't let it die. Well, some stuff just needs to die. Don't bring it up anymore. Keep short lists. And Abraham Lincoln once said, if you want to convince a man of anything, you must first convince that man that you are his friend. So this is a good message to send yourself in terms of communications. Take the time to extend friendship to others and let them see that you're not just about using them. In fact, you're going to use things and love people. You're not going to love things and use people. I want to be your friend first. Take the time to do that. There also can be an error made in terms of friendships if you don't understand what I call the best friend circle. And it's important to not hurt people's feelings by saying, my best friends are Mark Klibbe and Bob Belts, the two guys that do this radio program with me. That just puts a circle around the three of us and basically sends a message to all of the other people standing out that we know, you're not in this circle. This is exclusive. We have a best friend circle here, and you're outside of it. So when my mother, Margaret Mitchell, died in 1976 at the age of 54, I was sort of the cleanup guy the week after the funeral, just in terms of stuff around the house and keeping the family together with humor or whatever would encourage them not to grieve too much. But one thing I noticed is she got 12 communications from people the week after she died to us family members about my mother. And in each of the communications, it said, Margaret was the best friend I had in the world. So she had these people that thought Margaret's my best friend, but she never said it at the exclusion of others that might be hurt by it. That in and of itself is an incredible lesson in communication. How did my mom make 12 people feel like they were her best friends and she was their best friend? That's interesting. And I've thought about that a lot since my mom passed. But be cautious about communicating that. I remember when we started Cherry Hills Community Church in 1982, I wasn't very good at any of this, not that I am now, but Bob Belts and Jim Dixon and I, without meaning to, communicated to a lot of people, we're on the track, we're doing this, it's the three of us against the world, and if you don't get it, tough. I even had a thought, you know, we have to drive this boat, and it's going pretty fast through the water, and if you fly off the back of the boat and drown in the wake, well, that's something you got to deal with. We got other things we're trying to handle here. That's just an immature, ignorant approach towards relationships. We sent out a bad message, and I was the author of that. So trying to do better this time around. In fact, in seminary, they teach a form of communication that's really designed to be almost a prototype of what a sermon's supposed to be. It's called hook, look, book, took. And in delivering a 30, 35-minute sermon, the hook phase of that sermon is an introduction that is a joke or some kind of connection with the audience that allows you to hook together with whoever you're talking to. The look phase is What are we talking about today? What's the subject? Let's take a look at our topic today. And the book phase is, what does the Bible say about this? What's the book have to say about the topic we're discussing today? And then the took phase is the application. What do I take away from this? Bob Belts calls it his takeaways every week during his sermons at Highline Community Church. Hook, look, book, took. Just a little way to remember. Are your words for a message you're giving keeping these four areas in mind? Well, I say do that in every conversation you have. If you don't have time for the hook phase where you actually stop and engage someone just to be friendly, if it's just somebody on the street, do it in spite of what pace might be forced upon you that day. And then most people in the took phase want to know, well, that's good. What does this have to do with me? And how can this improve my life? That's why this program exists. You get the blessing every week. It's to help you get better, not just to entertain or educate, but what's this got to do with me? So we ask you, our listeners, to pick up the phone and call the guests that we introduce you to and get involved. There's the application for you. So when your mind goes on neutral and you really hit the pause button and you're just thinking about something, the most consistent thing you think about is yourself. And that's okay. That's the way God wired you. So it's about, am I clean? Am I dressed? Do I look right? Am I acting right? How does this affect me? That's not self-centeredness unless it goes beyond the norm. But in thinking about yourself and how much time we spend on that, think about what other people are thinking about too, which is themselves. So what's this got to do with me? How can this help me? That's what this whole program's about today on Tips from the Team. Tips so women and men can win. I'm just trying to help. So keep those thoughts in mind too. So let me review what I've said so far. Play it down. Never escalate. Beware of the blame game. Keep short lists. Abe Lincoln's quote, seek friendship first before you're seeking anything else. Best friend circle, hook, look, took. I would then say it's important for us to live a truth we learn before we try to give it away. In other words, walk with something before you turn up the volume and talk. Too much talking, not enough walking. Live it first before you try to give it away. And almost let someone else pull it out of you rather than just throw it out there. We got too much volume and not enough shoe leather. Power of perspective is another way that you should think about communication in terms of a message to yourself. In other words, who are you in relation to who it is you're communicating with? So if you're a parent, there's a lot of power in that positioning. So keep that perspective in mind from the perspective of the kid that's listening to you, or a spouse, or the owner of a company. You're the boss, whatever. Don't lose contact with that perspective, because there's power in that perspective. It's intimidating, potentially. In all communication, there's a sender and a receiver. So message to ourselves is we need to learn to be better receivers. We're not just always sending. It's a two-way street, or it's called a monologue. A dialogue involves one guy has the ball, he tosses it, the other person catches it, they have it for a while, then they toss it back to the originator, they have it for a while, and back and forth. That's called conversation. So we need to become better listeners. How do you train yourself to be a better listener? Well, there's different ways. Ask questions. I have a friend who I have never heard one time ask a question, including, how are you? Not a complicated question. What's going on with you today? Anything I can help you with today? Or another good technique on listening is repeat back to the person that's just communicated with you what they said. If I heard you right, you just said this. That's honoring to that you kept track of it. Yeah, I heard what you said. Now let me say it back to you. Is this what I heard you say? Another message to yourself, this is kind of a habit, is punctuality. And think about this in relationship to your relationship with God. Do you have time for God, or is he always the leftover? Interesting communication between you and the creator of life is, no, I don't have that 5 minutes, half hour, hour today to focus on you. I got to go do this, this, and this. But if you communicate, if you're late all the time, you're basically telling whoever you were supposed to meet at 2 o'clock and you showed up at 2:40, I don't really care about your time as much as I care about my own time. It's a communication, believe me, of devaluing the other person. And humor is another thing to think about. If you're not humorous yourself, you can practice it. Self-deprecating humor is best. I mean, I love you. You all have heard me on this program talk about I haven't had any hair since I was about 25, but my friend Dikembe Mutombo, who used to come into chapel where I've been serving as the chaplain for years, and he would say, "Bo man, your hair looks bad tonight." I said, "Dikembe, my hair looks the same. It always looks bad." "No, man, it looks worse tonight." Well, I like telling that story to groups because there's somebody in the group that's always feeling a little bit short, bad as to what they look like. I'm not up to par as to what everybody else looks like in here. And as soon as you, as the speaker or the leader or the friend, tell that story, sort of making fun of yourself, it helps other people relax. So you can use humor that way in preparing as how am I getting ready to communicate to someone else. So now jumping to the communication we have with other folks, I would just start by saying most of us think that communication is only about the words we speak. So what's tough about doing You Get the Blessing every week is you don't get to see my body language and that we are in here having fun. You do get to hear my tone of voice, or sometimes I cry or whatever, but most of us get confused in the fact that our communication really is only 7% words. It's about 63% body language and about 30% tone of voice. So you fold your arms in front of your chest and get a scowl on your face and say to your wife, "I told you I love you." That's not really what you just communicated at all. And she feels it. You know it. And yet we sometimes get mixed up on that. So we'll get to the weight of our words here in a moment, but I'm just saying, broadly speaking, communication is a lot more than our words. It's tone of voice and body language. And just to review, this is You Get the Blessing today. I'm Bo Mitchell, and I'm just doing kind of a tips from the team today rather than having a guest and sharing with you some communication skills that hopefully will help you develop your own personal communication skills. Valuing and devaluing is an incredible way we communicate to others. So if someone is always sees you not picking them, let's say you have a son or a daughter, and what they see you doing is picking your job or another night out of the house or another trip out of town, eventually you've just selected something other than them over and over and over and over, and you're communicating a loud voice there of devaluation to them. Same with your wives or your business partners or whatever. And it's a concept, valuing and devaluing, that you can keep in the forefront of your mind and make you a better communicator. Fog cutter is another one that's very helpful in communication. This is a short, simple, concise way of communicating volumes of truth. I was at BAT 1970s for the University of Colorado against Oklahoma. I was in a terrible slump. Our coach, Herb Brown, who is a great guy, a great player's coach, we all loved him, a great technical coach, but a great communicator, was in the dugout. I was facing a pitcher for Oklahoma named Jackson Todd. He had 2 strikes on me. I was clueless. I was ready to strike out, put the bat in a rack, and go home a loser. And I looked over at the dugout, and Irv said to me, "Short, quick, and down." That was about 3 hours of batting instruction in three words, short, quick, and down. So I stepped back in the batter's box, and instead of thinking about the crowd or the situation, last inning, we're behind 2-1, two outs, two men on base, or instead of thinking about how hard Jackson Todd, the pitcher, was throwing, I thought about what he said to me. So he cut through the fog of all this that was going on around me and had me concentrating on his three words, short, quick, and down. And I hit a home run. Rare for me. But before I got to first base, I thought, boy, Irv Brown is a genius. What a brilliant coach, which he was. But that day, his ability to cut through the fog really communicated to me what I needed to hear to get through that tough spot. And an extension of fog cutters would be single word focus. Sometimes this concept is just to simplify and clarify your purpose when communicating by identifying one single word to concentrate on. So when I'm playing golf with guys that absolutely can't play golf, I mean, they're getting ready to shoot 10 on every hole and make me crazy all day because I'm trying to shoot an 80, let's say. I have to go into that day and I can't think compete and I can't think score. I have to just think fun. My single word focus today is fun or serve, which means I'm going to look for golf balls all day. But sometimes you can define a situation by thinking, okay, I've got an all-day volleyball day coming up with my granddaughter. Tournament all day. Starts at 8 and goes to 6 that night. Maybe not what I want to do on Saturday, but what's a single word focus? Honoring. So I'm going to honor Mackenzie by going to that volleyball tournament all day. Rather than getting impatient and crazy and looking for the exit and where are we going for lunch and don't they give these girls a break and wow, this is making me crazy. I'm missing the golf tournament on TV. I'm missing the Rockies, whatever. My single word focus can communicate to me and to her, I'm here to honor you and help me get through that day. And another extension of all that is there's only really three focuses you can have when communicating. An it focus, which is the topic you're discussing. An I focus, which is self-centered about you. An I focus or a you focus, which is what your focus needs to be on the other person. So if you're listening to a public speaker and feeling uncomfortable, awkward, it's probably because the speaker is focused on himself or the content of what he's trying to communicate, and he hadn't gotten around, as I said earlier, to what's this got to do with you? So you focus would be me in the earlier illustration. Don't think about yourself today. Go think about Mackenzie. You focus. This day is about her. Let's see. Another form of communication is called points of connection. I can't remember the couple I learned this from down at a Focus on the Family retreat, but basically, a point of connection is any communication you have with each other that just quickly connects you throughout the day. And the scary part of this is men can get by on about two or three of these a day. Pat on the back, quick word, how's it going, whatever. Women need 12 to 15 of these. So men, if you're listening, good thing to concentrate on, points of connection. I'll get through these last few quickly, but the weight of your words is big. I mean, I still have words I wish I would have just eaten and not ever said. Our words can be heavy. So before you speak, count. Count to 3, count to 10, whatever it takes to before you lay something out that's just too crazy. So what I just said here in communication to others is words, body language, tone of voice, valuing versus devaluing, fog cutters, single word focus, you focus, points of connection, and then weight of your words. Last thing I would say is whatever it takes to muster up positive energy, that's what this world's looking for. Through the power of Christ and our ability to come into relationship with Him and to live lives that exhibit to everybody else a joy that's not dependent on our moment-by-moment happiness, but a deeper foundational truth about how life works, we can communicate positive energy to those around us. So we're supposed to be salt and light, and part of that's positive energy. So I would just say in closing today, folks, if you can, get fired up about the fact that you are communicating all day long, every day. So why not practice a little bit? I hope some of these tips help you win big in terms of your communication abilities. And blessings to you all. Thanks for tuning into our program today. And we'll see you again right here next week with a special guest on You Get the Blessing.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.